Afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Afternoon. I've just done a day's work. It's Monday, the 7th of August. And I've put it in today. Put in a shift. A real big shift today. I've been working hard on a tender for a contract. I don't think we've got much chance of winning, but I've done it. It was due to be submitted on Friday, but they extended the date, thankfully. So I've done a lot of writing, a lot of imaginative writing. I've had my, I've been testing my brain. I've had a lot of, my creative juices have been flowing over this past couple of weeks when local authorities have debt that they need to be recovered. They come out to tender normally, and you have to submit a tender document and you explain how you're going to do it. And yeah, it's I've had people do this for me for the past 9 years. Write, do a lot of the writing, and all I do is sign it off. But now in my new job, I'm doing it myself. I am doing it myself, jack of all trades. So I have been writing. I am down the man cave. Welcome back, or welcome to Macy's Man Cave. I'm John Mason, your host, where I just normally talk garbage for about an hour or so, where I muse about different stuff. And I did tell you, if you've been listening, I did say, I go on holiday to Orlando on Wednesday, fly out on Wednesday, and the weather's been terrible in the UK. It's been a crappy summer so far, whereas all the rest of the world is apparently burning and boiling, and people are dying, and Greta Thunberg's getting the ump, and we're all being told that we're going to have to change the world and change the planet, and all the crusty do-gooders that stop the traffic or disrupt our sporting events have been popping up and, you know, doing all this different stuff to disrupt everyday people's lives, to draw attention to the problem of climate change, wearing clothes that are predominantly made out of plastic and oil, creating emissions, harmful emissions as they go about their business. We've been having an awful, awful summer. Torrential rain most days. Temperatures not hitting 20. Again, I talked about this the other day. 20 degrees centigrade, right? Yeah, because it's 100 Fahrenheit. Is it 20 anyway? 20 degrees. So, and I said on my last podcast that as I'm flying out to sunny Florida, Orlando, that the weather would pick up on Wednesday. And so it came to pass, my friends, looking at my app. Today it's 21, Tuesday's 20, Wednesday's 23, Thursday 25, Friday 24. Doesn't look like it's going to be raining for the following week. Looks like you're going to get decent temperatures throughout the next week, for the first week I'm off. So Wednesday to Wednesday, you're looking at a range between highs of 25 and a low of 21. And at the moment, not a single day of rain. So I did tell you that there will be a bit of a heat wave when I fly off to Florida with the twins and Gemma. And really looking forward to that. Can't wait. I love Orlando. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I'm a big kid. I love all the rides. I'm into my movies, as you know. So, you know, things like movie-themed parks are all the rage. And, you know, where else can you get that than Orlando? Well, quite a few places, I suppose. Los Angeles. But, yeah, been there quite a few times. I love it. We're staying, just to piss you off, if you're staying at home and you haven't booked a holiday. So staying in this place called the Grove Water Resort Park and Resort, Grove Park, the Grove, on the 192 in Kissimmee, which I've stayed many times before, And when I first started going out there, stayed in hotels, but you kind of, you become a slave to fast food restaurants and restaurants when you stay in a hotel. You really don't have an option. You've got to eat out unless you just want to eat fucking crisps and donuts in your room, which I don't want to do. So we're in an apartment, and I've had apartments. We're in a condo type thing, two bedrooms, and it's got a water park there. And I'm just so looking forward to 2 weeks off, R&R, getting the girls to enjoy the park. They're at that age now; they're seven. So the last time we went out there, I think they were four. I want to say four, and we didn't actually do masses of parks, but we did Disney. For a day, I think, or they did a couple of days at Disney. But we've got the Universal Park, so we've been forcing them to watch Harry Potter, so they kind of get the connection between the rides, because they've got that Wizarding World of Harry Potter over there. I tried to get them to watch, we'll see how Universal theme, they've got a big Jurassic Park theme out there, so tried to get the girls to watch the first Jurassic Park film on yesterday, and they fell asleep, and so did I. They'd been down the club and been doing some activities, and fell asleep for a couple of hours, so they pretty much missed the entire film. So I'll have to try that one again. And of course, because they sleep in the afternoon, they were an absolute fucker to get to bed last night. Absolutely terrible. I think we took them to bed about 9, and Tilly was still, no, so Tilly went down for, I think I was holding her hand for 90 minutes in the end. Each time I tried to leave, she just squeezed my hand and wouldn't let me leave. It was Tilly's, and I had to take it in turns, so Tilly's turn to go first. And she eventually dropped off about 10:30. Millie was still awake, of course, and tried the same with her. And after about, I think, 45 to 50, it was about 11:30, I think it was. And I was like, nah. This isn't happening. And she kind of went off, but I knew she wasn't in a stable sleep. Crept back into my bedroom, and just before I could get my head on the pillow, she's at the door. Fuck it. I know the only thing that's she's ever going to go to sleep now is if she just crawls in bed with Gemma. So I ended up in the spare room again last night, and I don't sleep in that bed. I don't sleep at all at the moment. I'm just hoping, hope amongst hope, that maybe the change, maybe the walking around. On average, if you walk around, the typical average walk around a Universal theme park is apparently 6 miles. So that's going to be interesting. So hopefully that humid summer, if you've ever been to Florida, it's just the weirdest thing ever. You're on a plane, you've come from England where it's 20 degrees or whatever. You've been on the plane, you go through customs, you pick up your luggage, it's all air conditioned. You go to the car rental, and you pick up the car rental, you're knackered. And it doesn't matter what time you arrive, it doesn't matter if it's 11 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, midnight, then the doors to the airport open to go and get your car rental, and then it just hits you. Normally with me, you just get this huge smack in the mouth of humidity, heat, thin air, and that's it, I'm drenched. Drenched head to toe in sweat. You just can't wait to get to that car. You just cannot wait to get to, well, the only problem, the other flip side to that is, I think they're covered parking actually, but of course the cars are just as bad, if not worse. And that's the worst thing. That is definitely the worst thing about theme parks. The Disney theme parks in particular. The Universal theme parks aren't so bad because they're all in multi-stories. So your car's kind of protected from direct sunlight. But the Disney ones, they're just all open air car parks. And you get back to those cars, and the water parks are the same. You get back to those cars after a day going around, excuse me, the theme parks. And it's impossible to get in that car. You open the door, you quickly switch on the engine, you let the aircon run for at least 2 or 3 minutes before you even dare to get into the car. God forbid if you've got plastic seats, black plastic seats, because you burn your ass as well when you get in the car. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, the heat I can cope. I don't mind. And I'm not even that bad going around the parks, actually, when it's boiling hot. Gemma's bought these. I don't know if you've seen them, but the girls, I said to Gemma and the girls, there's these like neck fans. You can get these fans that go around your neck. So they bought them. I used to, I'll probably do it this year, get one of the towels from the bathroom or from the hotel or the condo or whatever, soak it in water the night before you go into a theme park, roll it and put it in the freezer. And then you put that in the bag. Put that in your bag with a bag full of frozen Capri Suns. And by the time you get to the park, by the time you start wanting a drink, they can start having drinks, and like the kids start having drinks. And it's, you know, when you need, you know, when that heat starts to hit you, I get my frozen towel, put it around my neck, my big fat neck. And yeah, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. And it's with the theme parks, you can always jump into like one of the air conditioned shows or something like that. But I don't like queuing. If the queue's more than 30 minutes, that's probably it. We'll just skip it and come back another day. But yeah, my kind of 30 minutes is my tolerance level for a queue. And they've got some new rides out there, Harry Potter rides, which I've seen. Sometimes the queues go to ridiculous waiting periods, like 3 hours. I've got the app here. Let's have a look. Entertainment, travel. What's Hagrid's motorcycle adventure? Let's have a look. So what time is it now? It's 4 o'clock now. 4:15. Let's have a look at the rides. Let's see the queuing time. Hagrid's Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorcycle Adventure, 95-minute wait. So what time's it out there? It's 11 o'clock. Park's been open an hour. Hollywood Ride Rocket, 40 minutes. Jurassic Park, 45. Men in Black, 10. Revenge of the Mummy, 25. Hulk, I like that one, 35 minutes. Simpsons, 20. Not too bad. Skull Island, Reign of Kong. I haven't seen that one yet before. Spider-Man, that's a good one, 40 minutes. Transformers, 30. Yeah. Yeah. You can always go back. I mean, that's the plan. I've got an itinerary. I get everyone takes the piss, but when you go somewhere like Florida, you've got to have an itinerary. You've got to have an itinerary. You've got to plan out your 2 weeks. So you know what you're doing on each day. You've got a kind of general idea which day you're going to go to the parks. And I kind of always schedule trying to do the visits on the days where the parks are quieter. So Mondays are normally a quieter day for Universal. SeaWorld are normally quite quiet on Sunday. Busch Gardens, you can pretty much go any time during the midweek. If you can just avoid weekends, and we'll just stay around the pool. I mean, we've got there's a massive like water park within our complex. So the girls can just chill out around the pool on the lazy river, and me and Gemma can sip frozen margaritas. So as I say, going out on Wednesday, I'm going to take the microphone. You never know. Might be able to do I said it last time, didn't I, when I went to New Jersey for the wedding. I said I might be able to do a podcast when I went out there for a week, but I never got around to it. But 2 weeks away, if I don't sleep as well there as I'm not sleeping here, I might have some early mornings at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, where I might be able to do a little podcast from my balcony as the sun rises over there in Florida, and I'm drinking a mug of coffee. I never drink coffee, but on holiday I'll probably drink coffee. It's just strange when you go to America. I never eat pancakes. I'll probably have some pancakes. I'm hoping, well, there is a gym there, so I'm hoping that I might be able to do gym, but generally tend to kind of eat what I want and drink what I want for the 2 weeks, because of the amount of activities, the amount of walking you're doing, the amount of heat, moisture you lose, basically the amount I fucking sweat. It kind of balances itself out. And I do like Americans and their portions. Everyone knows that they have like ridiculously ridiculous portions, and you can take, you have a, ask for a carry out, and then like, so if you don't finish it, you can have it and can wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and start tucking into the pasta that you didn't eat at, in the afternoon. So I'm all over that. I'm trying to think, there was one time we went and Daniel was, must have been about, nothing, I'm trying to think, I think Alfie was one or two, so Dan was probably 11 or 12, something like that. And we went to this place, I think it was called Bennigan's, and it was like an Irish-themed restaurant. And this is when we were staying in a hotel. So again, it was one of those scenarios where we're staying in a hotel, you had to go out every night to have something to eat. And he ordered this ham. He didn't order from the kids' menu. Or was it the kids' menu? I'm pretty sure it wasn't the kids' menu. So he ordered, he thought it was an adult. Obviously, Alfie was from the kids' menu. And he ordered this ham, turkey and cheese sandwich, but didn't like read the small print. Well, it just said, I think it did say something about this, but basically it was a ham and cheese and turkey sandwich, but then it was covered in batter and then deep fat fried, of course, because that's what they do. And so when it came, and then dusted in fucking icing sugar. I mean, don't get me started on dusting fucking bacon and chicken, and was it chicken? What's the other thing they have? Chicken, like for breakfast, they'll have like KFC style chicken on waffles, covered in syrup and probably dusted with fucking icing sugar. But this sandwich came out that Dan had. I think he likes it, but he didn't like the fact that he's a bit like, it's like, hang on a moment, it's supposed to be this is supposed to be my dinner, therefore it's supposed to be savoury, therefore what the fuck is this icing sugar doing on it? And they just, and I've spoken to my American friends about this. I just can't, I don't know what happened in translation. What happened from the, you know, the Pilgrim Fathers coming over and from, you know, us, you know, kicking the Dutch out and taking over most of your cities and all that kind of stuff, and giving you all the culture and all the, giving the language and the culture, and, you know, giving you a purpose and a meaning. You know, what happened? What happened? You know, breakfast, bacon, yes. Eggs, yes. Sausages, yes. French toast, yes. But French toast, for me, aka eggy bread, is what I grew up knowing it as, eggy bread. You don't then douse in syrup. You don't then cover in icing sugar. It's just not done. It's like a British breakfast being served with your baked beans and your mushrooms and your black pudding and your grilled tomatoes. What else are you having a breakfast? Whatever. And then, you know, all of a sudden, then just covering it in syrup. It just doesn't go. I can't get it. I need to know. I have to Google it later. I need to know when it was that America just decided absolutely fucking every meal needed to be accompanied with icing sugar and syrup. Because it just doesn't happen. It's funny, actually, because I was listening to, oh, there's a podcast, Bill Mather is American. He does this thing called Club Random Podcast. I can recommend it, actually. He's quite, he's another one of these ones that kind of publicizes himself as a liberal. You know, he's Democrat, he's anti-Trump, he's all of those types of things. But he's also one of these ones that's come out and just said, it's, you know, the whole world's gone fucking mad. The left's gone bonkers, batshit crazy. You know, he's anti this kind of like transgender surgery and all this kind of stuff that I'm pretty much for as well. And, you know, he's quite critical of COVID and COVID lockdowns. And he has a wide range. He has people on from the left. He has people on from the right. That sounds racist. He has people on from the right. And he had Sharon Osbourne on there, Ozzy Osbourne and the Osbournes fame, And yeah, she was like telling him that, you know, after 38 years or 40 odd years, that her and Ozzy are moving back to England. And, you know, some of the things that she's kind of like missed is, you know, some of the British traditions. And I don't think she mentioned it, but I should imagine breakfast without syrup and icing sugar on your bacon and your eggs and your grilled tomatoes would probably be one of them. It was weird, actually, because they talked a load of shit, actually, about England. About, like he said, he came over in the 80s and did the Bob Monkhouse show. Because I think originally he was a comedian. And he said, oh, I did this show with Bob Monkhouse. Do you know him? And Sharon was like, yeah, of course I know him. He was like, Bob Monkhouse was a big star. And I think he was quite, you know, famous outside of the UK, but mainly in the UK. He was good mates with Bob Hope, if I remember rightly, and Sammy Davis Jr. and people like that. I think he was in a few films as well. But he used to have this show, and so Bill Mather did this show, and he said, yeah, and I remember walking around London in the 80s, and I didn't see any black people, I didn't see any Asian people, and I'm like, where the hell did you go? Did you just basically go to Kensington and just not leave your hotel in Kensington and just get ferried to thingy? Because he made out that he walked around London in the 80s and it wasn't multicultural, whereas now it is. Whereas, you know, when I was five, six, seven, I remember very distinctly arriving at King's Cross and just being like, because there was never any kind of black or Asian people living in York at the time, up there in Yorkshire, and like just remember being hit by all these different races and nationalities, and the ticket collector was black, and you know, there was all the different people that you encountered. And like my mum, you know, my grandma was in East Ham. You couldn't get more diverse and multicultural. But this Bill Mather was saying, yeah, I was walking around in the 80s and there was, you know, London wasn't multicultural. And it's like, fuck knows. And she was agreeing with him. So God knows what she's on about. God, I digress already, don't I? Sharon Osbourne. But, you know, East Club Random is pretty good. It's quite a good little podcast, actually. I'm a bit jealous, actually, if I'm being honest, because he kind of does it from a basement. I mean, I've got my man cave, so I shouldn't mind too much. But he basically just sits there and drinks and smokes pot while he's doing. It doesn't matter who he's meeting. Oh, hang on a minute. I'm going to have to pause a minute. I need to take this call. Hang on a moment, people. Oh, no, hang on. Sorry about that. That was rudely interrupted by Gemma asking me something vitally important. It's all to do with the prep now. It's holiday panic mode. Got to pack. Got to get the girls sorted with clothes. Got to shoot to Tesco's and get the toiletries and all that mad stuff. It'll take me about 3 minutes, I think, to pack, basically, because I'm just taking shorts and T-shirts. Well, I've haven't been there so many times now. Shorts and T-shirt. Don't need a hoodie. Just need a lightweight. I've got a lightweight rain jacket, which I'll take. And that is it. So where was I? So Club Random. He basically just sits there and he smokes pot and drinks constantly throughout the hour or an hour and a half that he's speaking to his guests. And he had, Robert F. Kennedy, the presidential candidate there. And he's just smoking pot in front. Well, saying that, it's all legal out there these days anyway. So it's not really kind of any cake. Quite great shock or shakes these days, is it, to have any kind of famous people just sat around drinking and smoking pot. And he's about 60 odd 69 70, so I'm 53, so yeah, maybe by the time another 20 years or so, another 17-16 years, that'll be my podcast, just me, 50, you know, 60 odd years old, sat there on a couch interviewing people, smoking weed. 53, Jesus. It did get me thinking the other day, actually, 53. Like, are older people younger these days? Do you know what I mean? Kind of like, you know, I'm not saying I'm a fashion guru or anything, but I remember my granddad dressing like in a suit. Like, or he'd have trousers with a shirt and a tie on and a jacket on, just sitting at home like that. And old people, like, gardening in a trilby and a shirt and trousers. When I was growing up, old people seemed to be old. They probably were younger than me when I think about it, when I look back. And but, you know, just, do you not agree? It's like people just don't, they don't tend to dress or behave as their age would perhaps in history dictate that they should have done. I don't know when that changed, I think. It's just definitely people, you definitely wore suits to go, you know, to go and do the gardening. Like we'd have neighbours when I was growing up and they'd be in the backyard and the women, they'd start having their hair turned purple with, you know, like kind of Molly Sugden type kind of Coronation Street purple type hair at the age of 35, 40, and they'd all wear kind of like weird dresses and stuff like that, and like old people clothes, cardigans, lots of cardigans about, and jumpers during the summer. And you'd walk down the beach. I remember my Uncle Wally and Auntie Lily, and we'd go to South End. And it'd be sunshine on South End seafront, and everybody, you know, all people. You can see it on postcards and old pictures, people on the beach dressed up. People did old stuff, didn't they? They just like got to a certain age and it was like, that's it. We're on the, you know, maybe it was after 40. They just decided, that's it, you know. We've reached that point now where our parents and our grandparents and our parents before us, this is the point when we have to start wearing cardigans. This is the point where we have to start, you know, dressing in suits to go to Southend. They certainly didn't. Well, they didn't have sex. They didn't do drink or drugs. They kind of just like, am I imagining this? Did it actually happen? I'm pretty confident that's what it used to be like. I think, again, I mentioned coin-operated TVs last week, and I got someone giving me some feedback saying they remembered them, coin-operated TVs, mainly in holiday homes, and that's where I remembered, like, holiday kind of experience from. But, yeah, people would get stuff from catalogues. Do you remember? You had different catalogues. My mum used to have all of them. Like, she had the Grattan's catalogue. There was three, I think. There was Grattan's, K's, and Littlewood's catalogues. And someone gave me some feedback last week. She said, when you mentioned coin-operated TVs, it reminded me of catalogues and how you'd pay for stuff back, or your parents or people would pay for stuff through catalogues. Because you'd always have, like something would be like 36 quid, you know? But they'd always have like per week equivalent. And I remember mum, I think when I first started working, or was it when I was getting pocket money or something, I'd ask my mum to order me something and I'd have to give her like 15 pence a week for 30 weeks or something to pay off for some toy or some bit of clothing that she might have ordered from Grattan's catalogue or Kay's catalogue. And you'd pay stuff per week. And it was like, I didn't really realise at the time, it's like high purchase, isn't it? That's what it was back then. But you did it through the catalogue. But it used to be so many people used to shop that way. And you'd rent your TV from, who did we rent our TV from? Was it Rumbelows or Ready Fusion? So you'd rent the TV, that'd be a couple. I remember the first time we got a colour TV, and it was like, because we had a black and white TV for years. You'd only have one TV in the house. Anyone who grew up in the 70s and early 80s, like having more than one TV, you were definitely posh. Definitely posh. Because we had a black and white TV for ages. Ages and ages and ages whenever people had colour TVs. And I remember, my dad got a ZX81. So like 81... we definitely had two TVs by 81, 82 because we got a ZX81 and that was on the black and white TV because you didn't need a colour TV for the black, for the ZX81 because there was no colour, obviously. So we had more than one TV then. But yeah, I do remember those catalogues. And of course, as a kid growing up, a young man growing up, what was the catalogs good for? And taking a sneaky look at the lingerie pages. If you was a kid growing up, a young man, or woman perhaps, growing up, because you'd see the granddads in the Y fronts, all the blokes, they'd have all these photos, wouldn't they, of the blokes standing together with the Y fronts on, paisley Y fronts, and white vests. Vests, do you remember when vests were a thing? People used to have vests. And they used to stand there and they'd like be looking at each other and laughing as if they're kind of like, it's just absolutely natural for loads of blokes to be just stood there in vests and Y-fronts, paisley Y-fronts, just looking at each other or laughing with their beards and their tashes, their long like handlebar moustaches. But yeah, the real beauty of a K's or a Littlewood catalogue, because they used to be big fuckers as well, do you remember? Like really, really fat, you know, you'd have... Your early pages were, I think it went women's clothes, women's shoes, men's clothes, men's shoes. Yeah, then kids' clothes, kids' shoes. Then, odd, was it gardening at the front? You might have had some gardening. No, gardening was at the back, wasn't it? Anyway. But yeah, no, so you'd have women's clothes, women's laundry, women's shoes, men's clothes, men's underwear. Y-fronts, paisley Y-fronts, men's shoes. Then you probably have some jewellery. Then you start getting into your household items. And then you'd get toys, because that was another thing when you were growing up. So if you wasn't into the underwear, looking at all the girls in their underwear and the suspenders and all that kind of stuff, then you'd get double whammy. You'd have those pages to look at, and then you'd also have all the toys at the back, towards the back of the catalogue. And everything just looked so within reach, because even though it might be, even though Total Control Racing, Starsky and Hutch, was it Starsky? No, there was one the one I wanted. Dukes of Hazzard, you know, it might have been £58 or whatever, because they converted it to £1.15 a week for 58 weeks or whatever it was, or you know, 2-3 years when you look into it. Then you'd get, you know, you'd just think, oh, I could afford that. Anyone can afford it. But yeah, I just loved looking through those catalogues. Not just for the underwear, by the way, people. By the way, listeners, just let's be clear. I just didn't like looking through the catalogue just to look at women, middle-aged women in basques and suspenders. I promise you. But then you'd also get, you know, your sports, your footballs and your goals. Replica kits. I think they used to sell replica kits. I think it was three. If I remember rightly, there was only like three football boots you could buy. There was like the Puma ones, Patrick and Adidas, or Gola as well, maybe. So three or four types of football boots. And there was always black. There was none of this kind of fluorescent nonsense. None of this kind of fluorescent orange. It was just black or black. You know, that was it. That was the only choice that you had when it came to football boots. But yeah, catalogues were a big thing. And then it kind of like all disappeared, I think. They all started, all the catalogues started disappearing. And then you were just left with the Argos catalogue, which didn't really do it for me because they didn't sell underwear. Oh, no, actually, and then Next bought in a catalogue. And then everything went online. And we do all our shopping online now. As I said the other week, like Gemma just, like our next, I think I said, our next delivery person, it's the same woman all the time, and she'll sometimes just knock on the door just to make sure we're alive. If there's a day where she doesn't have to deliver something, and Gemma will order 16 different sizes, two of each, and it's just like an avalanche of stuff. And she's got no qualms about doing any of that. But me, as I said the other week, it's got to be like SAS. Get in, get out, do your shopping, do it as quickly as possible, and no fucking about. But I'm glad to say I've got no shopping to do for my holiday. It's all done. It's all dusted. Everything's sorted. Just got to do. What do I need? Need some Lynx deodorant, obviously. Need a bit of Africa. Lynx Africa. And some toothpaste. I think that's it. I think that's it. And then we're ready to go. Ready to go. Gatwick, which is so much better than Heathrow because it's normally about an hour. West Heathrow, because it's so much further from where we live. Oh my God, ULEZ is happening, innit? So ULEZ is happening. So the ultra low emission zone is happening. So that's going to come soon. Is the ULEZ going to be in Gatwick? I don't think it is. I think it's outside. I know Heathrow's in the ULEZ. So my big fat truck is like 1 year outside of the emission standard. So it was 65, my truck was produced, so it doesn't meet the emission standard. So I can't really drive anywhere inside the M25 with the truck. Well, I can. I have to pay £12.50. Although all the oiks keep, all the anti-ULESX people keep cutting down Sadiq's cameras because apparently they're on poles that are too short and the wires are exposed. Wouldn't have happened in my day at TfL for people. We knew the risks when I was introducing congestion charging in my old job. We knew there was a risk that people would try and sabotage the cameras. They clearly got complacent. They clearly didn't learn from the experience that I provided and the knowledge and the foresight that I had when I was at Transport for London, that you need your cameras on top of very long poles. Very long poles, and you don't need wires exposed, because if they're not there, because basically I've seen videos and people are, they're like, some of them are so low down, they just, you don't even need a step ladder. They're just kind of like shimmying up the pole a little bit, cutting the cables and stuff like that. So that's going live at the end of this month while I'm away. So after the end of August, I will be forced to pay £12.50. Or I could change my car, I guess. But there's 30,000 miles still on the clock, so why should I? It's still got some life in it yet. So I'm just going to have to try and avoid central London, or hopefully drive Gemma's car. So anytime I need to go West Ham, although I'm not looking forward to West Ham. Football season starts next week, West Ham away to Bournemouth. And as it stands of today, with a week left, well, less than a week, we've sold, without question, our best player to Arsenal for £105 million. We've sold Gianluca Scamacca for what we paid for him last year, £30 million-ish. And we've signed no one. We've signed absolutely no one. So we've lost our best player. We've lost one of our only one of two experienced striker, the other one being Antonio. And I think we're fucked. I think we are fucked. I think we are going into the... So we had a high. We ended on a high. We won a European trophy. We became champions of Europe. I know people will question that somewhat, because it was the third tier of European football, but it was still a trophy, and I maintain that. And yeah, we've sold our best player. We've sold one of our only two strikers. So we've only got like one proven, well, two. So we've got Ings and Antonio. And everyone around us has strengthened their squads. All the teams that are coming up from the Championship have signed. I think there's only Wolverhampton Wanderers that I think are like us. They're an established Premiership side now, and they seem to be going through a bit of turmoil as well. But we brought in this guy, Tim Steadman or something. He kind of helped. He's like a technical football person, guru. More like the American system, where you've got someone to handle recruitment. So Moyes is the coach, and this guy's been brought in, and I think he helped establish the team at... is it Bayer Leverkusen, who beat us 4-0 in our last friendly, and he helped establish that team. And apparently all the players that he wants us to sign, or has recommended that we sign, David Moyes, the manager, doesn't like the look of. David Moyes just wants... We were supposed to sign this guy from Man City, and he decided to go to Ajax. We keep putting in offers for James Ward-Prowse at Southampton, and he's just like... I think every time we submit a bid, it's like 10 million less. And it was just like, it's just getting West Ham. Sorry, I know you don't like me. Some of you don't like me talking about soccer, football. But we knew our best player. We knew he was going to sell our best player. We didn't, but there was no strategy. We wait until we sell him. We wait until everybody, we publicise that it's a club record or English record, that it's £105 million. What did we expect? So every time we go and try and buy a player now, like when they used to hope, you know, if it was Wolves approaching them or a team that's just been promoted, they know they haven't got the financial clout. They know they haven't sold a player for £105 million. So if they come in and it's the only bid and they want the money and it's 20 million, then they're probably going to accept it. But every team's going to be, oh, West Ham, well, you just got £105 million. Well, we was going to ask 20, but we may as well ask 40. Because the closer it gets, the more desperate we're going to be. The more desperate we're going to be to spend money, the more people are going to rip us off. Again, just going into a new season. How can we go into a new season on such ending on such a high and being in such a... I'm sorry, this is the West Ham way. I should be used to it now. I've been supporting this team for 40-odd years. And I should be used to it. It felt like we'd turned a corner. We'd finally turned a corner. And you know, we was going to build on that success and that euphoria of winning a bit of silverware. And yes, if Declan was to go, it would still give us the money to go out there into the marketplace and rebuild our squad and build it around, you know, Paqueta and some of our other exciting players, Bowen. And we've done none of that. We've just kind of lurched from one street. It's like a typical West Ham approach. We get linked with everybody. We sign nobody. Linked with everyone. Sign no one. And it's just so annoying. And we'll go into this new season and we'll have a bad start. Now, any players we sign now, they've got no time whatsoever to bed in. No time whatsoever. So, and I'm a very firm believer. You lose your first two or three games. When they start publishing the league tables and you've played three or four games and you've lost all of them and you're bottom of the table or you're in the bottom three, it has an immediate, I'm a firm believer, a major impact on teams like West Ham. You know, it can happen to Man United and it can happen to Liverpool and Man City and Arsenal and Chelsea. And they always, they've got the resources, they've got the clout, they've got the confidence in the players that they've got and the coaches to get themselves out of the trouble. And they're always, they're never going to get relegated. But with a team like West Ham, we have a bad start like that. And it has an immediate impact. It has an immediate impact on the home crowd. And we'll get on their backs and there'll be that toxic atmosphere and it'll spill out onto the pitch and it'll spill out into the players. And yeah, we're one of those teams that if we go on a bad run early on, then it's just, you know, you're in a battle. We'll know by, God, I hope I'm wrong, but we'll know by October easy where we're probably going to finish in the league. You know, if we're in the bottom three by October, then it's going to again be another one where we're struggling all season, and we're not going to repeat what we did last year. Not with the teams. We're not going to repeat. You know, we'll struggle and we'll survive and we'll get by and we'll win a cup. We're not going to do it 2 years on a run. Mark my words. Episode 31. I'll have to write this down. Episode 31. You said we wouldn't win anything. I might have to just put a bet on. So, yeah, a little bit of a football rant. I'm missing a couple of games. Well, no, what am I doing? I'm missing Chelsea at home. I haven't had my season ticket through yet. So the football season's upon us. I actually don't mind watching football while I'm out in America. It's a good excuse for an early beer. So it'll be 3 o'clock out there. So an 8 o'clock game will be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A 3 o'clock game will be 11 o'clock-ish, something like that. So... get on the beers. Get on the frozen margaritos early. Margaritas early. But So I think that's about it for today. I've got a few little loose ends to sort out and got a few little bits of work to sort out tomorrow, and that's it. I'm done, and I will be gone for 2 weeks. We will be gone, and we will be in sunny Florida, the Sunshine State. oh, I've got to do that before. I do like, I did see the, have you ever done this? What you got to do is you got to put in Google, let's have a look. Because they are fucking mental out there. You do know that, don't you? In Orlando, Florida man, Florida man. So you do Florida man, Florida man. And then you do your date of birth, 9th of January. January. 9th of January. Florida man and your birth date, all right? That's news. Florida man arrested after victim in bondage gear found beaten to death. Florida man gets drunk at Disney Springs, warns police that they better hope. What's that? Florida man gets drunk at Disney Springs, warns police they better hope he's never their nurse. Then his family abandons them. Here's the one. So you do Florida man, and then you do your date of birth, right? Not your year, just the date. So mine's the 9th of Jan. So this is the one. This is the stick out one. This is the standout one for me. This was reported on the 9th of January, 1919. Police: Florida man says syringes found in rectum are not his. Claims not known how they got there. Clearwater, Florida. Deputies in Florida say a man claimed that the three syringes removed from his rectum during a strip search on Friday did not belong to him. Wesley Dasher Scott, 40, was arrested on a drug charge early Friday morning and taken to the Pinellas County Jail, officials said. During a strip search, Scott removed three syringes from his rectum and gave them to a deputy, according to an Scott told the deputies that the syringes did not belong to him and he did not know how they got in his rectum. Scott is now charged with felony possession in a county detention facility, as well as other drug possession charges. Deputies said that before taking him into custody, they asked Scott if he had anything on him, and he informed him there would be additional charges for bringing anything hidden into jail. Oh, yeah, he took three syringes in the arsehole. Any other ones that spring to mind? 9th of January. Florida man charged in January 6th insurrection. Now, so that was it. That was my one. That was my standout one. My Florida man and date of birth was my was the man with the three syringes in his. I got sent this the other day. This was quite funny. Where is it? Oh, I haven't got it. I can't find it. So it was. I thought I'd copied the link. So there's a shoe shop in the States, shoe chain called Payless. Payless shoes, and I bet this was a couple of years old, but I've still found it amusing. I've never seen it before, and they opened this. They kind of changed, they're kind of a palace. I think they changed their name to Palace. It was all, and they opened this shop in Beverly Hills in Los Angeles. And they took them all out of the boxes, all the shoes and the trainers and stuff, and just put them on posh shelves. And it was all marbled interior. And they had this big launch event where all these people came, got invited, all these millionaires got invited to this new palace, play on words because it's called Payless, shop. And I think they were charged, so like, whereas like those pair of shoes would normally be $69, they were charging them $690. And people were doing it, people were buying it. It just shows you, like, just, I always say it, the richer you are, the more stupid you are, and people just pay anything if they think it's like a status symbol and stuff like that. So I think they owned up to it and gave them their money back. But I think good little marketing that made the news. I thought that was quite amusing. But look, I will bid you farewell. Thank you so much again for listening and listening to my latest musings, and I hope to speak to you again maybe over my holidays. I might do a little live direct from Orlando, Florida. See if I can find a newspaper and read you the headlines about Florida men doing weird and wacky shit. And I thought it'd be appropriate to play you out on with a with a proper American. So when we're out there, what we tend to do is we'll tune in to. Hang on, what's that? We'll normally tune into a country and western station. I know a lot of you out there probably don't like country and western, but for me, this is one of the most American country and western songs I know. So I'm going to play you out on this, whether you like it or not. This is Luke Bryan, Drink a Beer. Thanks, everyone. See you soon.
When I got the news today, I didn't know what to say, so I just hung up the phone. I took a walk to clear my head, and this is where the walking led. Can't believe you're really gone. Don't feel like going home, so I'm gonna sit right here on the edge of this pier and watch the sunset disappear. And drink a beer. Funny how the good ones go too soon, but the good Lord knows the reasons why, yes. Sometimes a greater plan is kind of hard to understand. Right now it don't make sense. I can't make it all make sense, so I'm gonna sit right here on the edge of this pier and watch the sunset disappear. And drink a beer. Watch the sunset disappear. And drink a beer. Drink a beer. Drink a beer.